So basically the problem is, what's the difference between Kavod and Mara? What's the deal? Why is Kavod sounds like positive things, Mara sounds like negative things. But first of all, what's the idea? By the way, another kasha on that is, they're both mitzvahs asayis. They're two mitzvahs asayis. So it's... that's funny. How is Mora? How, that's the question. Stop. What's that saying, Mora? Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. What's that say? You know what I mean? But apparently, so what's the concept if you want to say it's positive and negative? And it doesn't seem to be true with positive and negative, because it says Ahechan Kibud Avayim and Ahechan Mora. The Rav has two cases. The case of Ahechan Kibud is if the guy throws your money into the sea, then you don't get angry at him. You don't show pain. You don't show anger. You don't embarrass him. But you just accept things as cuts and you're quiet. And that's not positive. You don't do anything. You're just sitting back. So how is that? If you don't tell me that it's action, this is not an action. And Heichan Mora, he says, if you're wearing fancy clothing and sitting in front of a bunch of people, and the parent comes and rips them off and spits in your face and hits you, so then also you should be quiet and have pachad from Melch Malchayim Lachim. And who commanded you? Because if a king commanded you, then you wouldn't do anything. Certainly, God. Okay. So the question is, why is one of these Mora, one of these Kavod? They sound like the exact same thing. And why is he getting all philosophical in this? And then he talks about the Mora. Yeah. Okay. That was in Vav Zayin. Last one. The halacha about Arhechan Kibirav Vayim is Vav Zayin. It just doesn't know it. I mean. Just, it may come up, but you have Yira, you have Yira by Hashem, you see me have Kavod by Hashem, but you have Avas Hashem really also. I mean, you don't have Ava of your parents. You have Kavod of your parents, you have Yira of your parents. You don't have, and you have, right, you have, remember the Gemara says, all equal. You have a Klala of your parents and of God, but you don't have Haka, hitting, because it's not possible. But what happened to Ava? I mean, you see Ava Hashem. Like Yura and Ava, you see, are like flips of each other with respect to God. So it's interesting, right? It is interesting. You don't. It doesn't seem like you have that by your parents. There's no counterpart to Ava, it seems. And the guy asks questions. Good questions. Like, by Yura, what are you going to say? Is every second you're not standing in your father's place, you're the kiyam of Yira? Like, you're always not standing. Like, how exactly do you do the mitzvah? When's the kiyam? What's the kiyam? It's funny kiyam. It's funny mitzvah sase. Right? Like, by Shabbos, you say, Shvisa Shabbos, the kiyam sase, because man does work. So, nature is to work. And if he doesn't work, so you say, is that Shvisa? Shvisa is like a positive state. It's privation of malacha. But what do you say? Is privation of not of standing in his place? It's harder to say that, you know. It's hard to say, and every second, you know, Shabbos, it's a yom, so it's a yom shvisa, you know, I mean, that's, man doing not malach, you know, but here it's like a hard, just like a general idea, like his nature is to rebel, and then like, to be unrebellious is a positive, it's hard to say. It was a los to say, I can see. See, a los to say. That would be a los to say, it would be good. You have to be afraid. You're not allowed to stay in this place, you're not allowed to do this, you know, that would be a los to say, but this isn't a los to say, this is not a say. It's a good question to start with, just because in method, I think it's always good to start with problems. You know, there's like there's this general question of what's Kavod and what's Yira. So it's like a very open-ended question. What are they? And it's hard to think, you know, hard to come up with a definition. It's a harder kind of a question to think about than if you have a problem. See, here's a problem. How could you have an asay of Yira? What is Yira? You know what I mean? Like, instead of just trying to think in the abstract, what's Kavod, what's Yira, you have a problem. Yira is a mitzvah asay, and there's no asay. That's a problem, and you got to answer that. So then your problems can help guide you towards coming up with solutions, as opposed to just an abstract thing. I got to define Kavod and Yira. It's harder. So I think it's good to grab onto a problem, and this is a good problem. It helps direct your thoughts when you have a problem. That's why it's important to ask questions in general. It's not just to define a machlokas. You don't have a question, you're just trying to define a machlokas. Like, it's hard to know exactly what to think about, you know? I'm saying it's not possible, but a question always directs your thoughts towards something. You know, if you have a problem. Problem is you always come into a sugya with certain premises. You know what I mean? And you're trying to think about it, but you already have your premises. But basically, the premises are almost never in line with the true svara. You just have to kind of assume certain things. But when the question basically forces you to question your premise. Like, a question is always based upon some false premise. The reason why it's a problem is because you think of Yira as meaning, don't stand in this place, don't do this, and you know, you think of that as being a losa, say not as an asay. Now, it must be there's some false premise here, something you're missing, And because of that false premise, you have a problem. But the problem causes you to realize you have to abandon some premise here, which is leading you to it. And how could I? What premise could I change, which will help me find the answer? You know what I mean, so problems kind of show you where you see what exactly am I assuming, which makes this problematic. You know, and then how do I change it? Opposed to just thinking about it. Thinking about it is like a little kind of loose. Not as directed. So I think, the Rambam says, I think the Rambam answers the question in Halacha Zayin. Okay, in Halacha Zayin, and he describes for you, it's interesting. He says, what does he say in the mitzvahs of the era? So by kavod, by the case, I feel, you know, that heichon kibud avayim, so what should you do? Don't embarrass them, don't do this, don't do that. Eli kavod gzeres kasev yishlok. Just be quiet, accept the gzeres kasev and be quiet. But then look what he says by era. They spit on you, they do all this. El yishtok. Should have stopped there, right? El yishtok. It's yishtok v'yira v'yifached mimelach malchei amlachum shetzivah b'kach. So you should be quiet and have fear and pachad from Hashem who commanded you on this. So we forget the question to take for the moment of what does Hashem have to do with that? Sorry, we thought it was yira of your parents. But what's he telling you to do? He's telling you, he's not just telling you to be quiet. What's he telling you to do? To have a certain state of mind, to have a certain emotion, call it whatever you want. But he's telling you your attitude, your internal attitude. That's part of the mitzvah is, and that's what I'm saying. That seems that the Rambam saying is that what I'm saying is that yira is the key in belief. That the mitzvah I say is belief in your heart, in your mind. The mitzvah is really an internal mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have a certain attitude and a state of fear. When you think of your parents, so your parents have to bring to mind the Borei Olam. Right? That's what he said, because they're Shosh Shutman, they're partners with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when you think of your parents, they have to bring to mind the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as such, it has to remind, the thought about the Kadosh Baruch Hu reminds you, like by Yiras Hashem, reminds you of your smallness. It reminds you of your smallness. That's Yiras Hashem according to Amnes, right? Because Avas Hashem is when you study the Torah, Beis Aleph, right? So Avas Hashem is when you study the universe, you see God's infinite wisdom, so you're drawn to the source of that wisdom. That's Avas Hashem. And Yira is then when you reflect upon yourself, you realize how, as compared to the source of the old Chachma, how you're basically a small, empty, nothing, you know, type of a being. Now this, this is very reminiscent of that. Like Yira v'yafachan v'melach malchei malchum is reminiscent of that other thing in Yira. And I think it's good because is that the Yira of the parents stems from Yiras Shamayim. Is that the parents bring to mind because the shutuf, their shutuf, that to whom they're shutuf with, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that has to bring to your mind your smallness. Okay, it's like a two-step thing. Yeah. It's your smallness, and that smallness—that's an internal state of mind, which is that's what I say. I say is to have that attitude, but that attitude—how do you express that attitude in general? How do you express the attitude by not doing things? Words, why can you? The mitzvah is not to not sit in their place. The mitzvah is to have the attitude. Not sitting in their place is if you realize how small you are, connect to them that comparatively your existence is small compared to them, so then you can't put yourself in their place, and you can't argue with them, and you can't do all that stuff because of that recognition. But when you don't sit in their place, the accompanying state of mind is one of yira, and that's the asay. Asay is belief. It's a mitzvah. Asay is belief. It's really, really good, and that's why the Rambam, when he tells you, you should be quiet and have a fear. Well, he's advising you in emotions, but apparently he's saying, no, this is based upon, if you have the proper relationship to your parents, it should bring to your mind an idea of Yira, and the Kiyam of Yira is really a Kiyam Belev. And what I'm saying is, Umora, he's not asking what's the state of mind Belev, you know, he's explaining what are the actions which that state of mind is Mechayevin. I mean, so that's when it comes to. By the way, why is there no Ava? Put this in mind. Why is there no Ava? There's Yira, but there's no Ava, right?
There's no mission.
Exactly. See, I think it's good. It's because the Ava is Avas Hashem is where you're drawn to the source of the Chachma. Okay, drawn to the source of the Chachma, Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? And Yira is then when you look upon yourself with that thought in mind, then you realize how small you are. You know. Now, if you have something else which brings to your mind, brings the Kadosh Baruch Hu to your mind, the parent, right? Because they bring to your mind the idea of the shutaf. So it's not appropriate to say I'm going to have ava towards them, because the ava is where you're drawn towards God, towards the source of the chachma. Now you can't be drawn towards your parent, because then you'd be making the parent into God. Your parents are not God, so you can't. It's the ava is with a positive drawing towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that can only be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't make any sense towards something else, because the draw only has to be towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But yira is when you reflect upon yourself. So the attitude of looking at your smallness. Now, if you have another being which brings to mind in your mind's eye HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now you could realize and reflect upon your smallness. That is that could even be brought about by something which brings Kadosh Baruch Hu to you by a person, a parent who brings to your mind the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is appropriate. I mean, it's when it's reflecting upon the self because of your thought about God, then it could even be through so to speak something else which brings the Kadosh Baruch Hu to your mind. So that's what yira is appropriate. But if it's being drawn towards the thing, so then the only thing it's appropriate to be drawn towards is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Parent, what do you say? Drawn towards a parent, that can't be, and the parent isn't a replacement of your joy. It's not appropriate. Yira brings the parent, when you think of parent, it brings to your mind. Your parent is your creator in this world, okay? The source of your existence in this world. And basically, the parent brings to mind the fact that you are a created being. And that brings to mind the ultimate creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that brings to mind how small you are, because a created being is a small being. You know what I mean? Now, specifically, you're small connected to your parents who brought you into this world, but it ultimately brings to mind your createdness, which is connected Hashem. So therefore, your smallness is really an appropriate thought when it comes to your parents. And your parents, but not your parents per se, because they're good people or they're better than you are as people, but because they are your creator. But that their shutaf with the ultimate brings to mind the ultimate creator. So now it's an appropriate mindset to think of how small you are. You know, but you can't say in the positive way. You can't have it. You can't now say, "Now I'm drawn towards my parents because they're my creator." Because you're drawing towards it isn't just towards creator. That doesn't lend itself to shutaf. You can only be drawn towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you can't use some other substitute to be drawn towards in a positive way. Is you know that's only Kadosh Baruch Hu you can be drawn towards. So you don't have. There's no mitzvah of ava of your parents, because ava is drawing towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But yira is not towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yira is realizing your smallness in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if you have parents who bring to mind the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now it brings to your mind's eye that your smallness. But your smallness, that's what the Rambam says, yira melech malchein lachem, is the yira is the belief, even though in action it's towards the parent, because in action you're not sitting in their place or what, you know, but belief, it's really yira Hashem. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. How does it relate to Hashem? Because He's your creator, and He commanded you, and to use this person to relate, to bring to your mind your smallness compared to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The yira isn't this. It has a list of actions, but I'd say is, I mean, if you could come up with another thing which would be inappropriate to do in someone who you consider to be significant, then that would also be included. Right? Like in the case of where he spits in your face, and that thing is you don't you know. You don't get angry, you know, whatever it would be. I mean, it's not, I mean, it's drawing lines. I mean, I'd say the mitzvah is drawing lines. You know, it's not these specific things specifically, you know what I mean? Just like in Kabbalah, it's not those things specifically. I mean, exactly what it is, but I mean, it doesn't just mean get it, you know.
It's not like category or anything.
Yeah, it's not the category. I mean, it's trying to paint the picture for you of the types of things. I mean, they are, I'm not saying there's a million things, you know, but, I mean, it's drawing general lines, but if... I mean, maybe it is, maybe it does include all the things. You know what I mean? But if it is, it's because it's just accidentally. Intrinsically, it's something greater than that. It's just, you know. Oh, so that's why it's good, is the case of Yira basically is, see, since the whole idea is your smallness vis-a-vis him, vis-a-vis the parent, or ultimately vis-a-vis Hashem, so the case of Arheichan Yira is where you are wearing fancy clothing, sitting in front of all these dignitaries, you know, or in front of a whole Am. So basically, that is the situation which is your greatness. You know what I mean? See, the case of Kobe didn't have that. He just said that he just comes and takes your money and throws it in the sea. But here it's a situation which basically is your greatness. Your greatness. You're in front of all the people wearing fancy clothing. This is like, oh, I'm the guy. You know, you are the man. And then they come and spit at you and basically make you nothing. And basically you're totally silent, you know what I mean? And you don't do it, you know? So that basically is the best express. That's why it's Arhechan. Arhechan. And how far does the Yura go? Even in the most extreme case, you know, that's what we showed. There's no limit to the thing. Is that in your, you have to basically will be willing to go from your emotion, your height of your greatness, to basically to your nothingness, you know what I mean? And that case really exemplifies the thing, you know, the whole situation of Yura. I mean, that's why it's Arhechan. It's the furthest extent. Yeah. So that's Yura. So now the question is, what about Kavod? What is Kavod? So Yura is also, in a sense, you say it's not really correct to say Yura is negative, because it can't be. It's a mitzvah asay. The actions are really negative, passive actions. It's really the mitzvah is to have an internal state of Yura, but the manifestation of that state is abstaining, certain abstentions from certain activities. Okay, that's the way you manifest your smallness. The way you manifest your smallness is by abstaining from certain, doing things that put you on equal footing with him. That's basically those things. There are always things that's putting you on equal footing. You can't sit in his place and argue with him, make a decision, and he's arguing with someone else, and you say he's right. But you basically, there are things which are, you can't put yourself on an even playing field. You can't put yourself in his position. You have to realize the distance and your smallness vis-a-vis him. It's interesting. It could be, I'm just wondering, maybe it could be there are no positive things, because then it would be like you'd be relating to him. Like, since the Yura is really Yura of Hashem, I don't know. Let's leave that problem. Okay, so now let's cover. Cover is apparently a different thing, right? Codes and things. So kavod, just the facts are. So the simple things you give his needs, right? Take care of him like an eved takes care of a master. Give him food, drinks, right? Clothing, bring him in, bring him out. Take care of his needs. Right? But then you have this funny case, the most extreme case of kavod is where if he basically takes your money, throws it in the sea, and you're in front of you, you don't do anything. You simply don't respond. You don't get angry, you don't show pain, you don't embarrass him, you're just quiet. And you come with your kasuf, and you're quiet. So here it doesn't seem like he says kavod is a kiyum b'leiv. I mean, he doesn't say anything about b'leiv. You know what I mean? He just says v'yishtok. Kavod just goes v'yishtok. Accept God's decree and you're quiet. So if that's the case, you kind of have the problem again. So what's the positive thing? Right? Where's the positive... Where is the positive thing? How's it asay? How's that mitzvah asay? And what is kavod in general? I mean, on surface, it sounds like both cases, like they're very similar cases. I don't have a problem if you'd say that both cases are both kavod and yira. But, like, it's the best model. It exemplifies, one of them exemplifies kavod, one exemplifies yira. But it could be, it's true. Like, for instance, if you'd spit in the father's face, if you get upset at him and you start yelling at him, wouldn't that lack in Yura also? I mean, wouldn't you be violating Yura if, in the case of the Kavod, if he threw your money in the water and then you started yelling at him? So wouldn't that lack in Yura? Yura is, you don't argue with him. Yeah. So wouldn't it violate Yura? So isn't that also Yura? I mean, I don't think there's a problem with saying, yes, that is also Yura, but the case is the model case for Kavod. It's showing how far Kavod goes. But it doesn't say that case is devoid of Yura. So that doesn't bother me, you know what I mean? But you want to show why it's the model case of kavod, though, you know what I mean? Just to answer the first question about what are you doing? It's passive, you're not doing anything. How's it an asay? But Yura is an asay because it's belief. But where's the asay here? But I think that what Gary said before is good, is that, see, the privation is like you see Shvisa Malacha, is an asay on Shabbos. How is it an asay? You're not doing anything, you're just sitting back. Because the man's nature is just doing Malacha. Shesh Yom Tasa Malach Tacha. I mean, man's nature is he's a worker. He does work. Now, but not working is a positive. It's a state of privation. So that's positive. It's positive. To not work is a positive. Or fasting. Fasting. If you need something to say, it's man's nature to eat. To fast is a positive thing. You see a positive word for it. You don't just say, I'm not eating today, I'm fasting. It's like you're actually doing something. What are you doing? You're not doing anything, you're just sitting back. But that's a positive. So similarly here, I mean, I'd say in this scenario where basically the guy totally takes all your money and throws it in the sea, so it's the man's nature is to have a cow. Okay? So in such an instance, I'd say is yishtok is a positive. See, being quiet normally, all day long I could sit quietly, you don't say I'm doing anything, I'm just not doing anything. But if you take a scenario where a guy does something where it's an affront, a total attack on you, and on your all your money, and you basically just sit there, that's not, that is a positive. That is a positive something. I mean, I'm just saying it's a positive. I mean, we have to define what kavod is and show what it's positive. But I'm just saying I'm answering the problem of the negative is because this case, in general, kavod, that's why in general kavod is really positive things. And kavod is a positive thing, an action. And actually, it's positive, not like here. But in this case, you could have a positive by being passive, because certain times passivity is a positive. When it's when it's natural to do something and you don't do it, that's a positive. Now, what is the positive though? That's the way to define better. You know what I mean? So I say like this: that the positive thing is covered is it's to demonstrate their significance. Okay, and that's what covered is that it's respect, showing respect. Respect is like. The person is significant, and you're expressing, demonstrating their significance over you. You're insignificant, and they're significant. In other words, when you subordinate yourself to them, you're basically showing my needs and my stuff are basically unimportant. Can I get them? Can I get their needs? So basically, as you're taking care of their needs, is subordinating yourself and demonstrates a demonstration of their importance. I mean, that's kavod. It demonstrates why, like standing is also kavod. Standing up is also included. Needs and standing up is also kavod. It's showing their importance, but it's the way it's their importance is through you like exerting yourself, you know, for them. That's part of the thing. So in a case where basically they throw this all your money in the sea, and basically you don't do anything, so you're demonstrating basically is their psyche. Their psyche, their psychological, right, as he says, like it would hurt them psychologically. Their psyche is more important than my money. And all my money and all my emotions and all my everything. You know what I mean? That's a demonstration. See, that's a demonstration is because if anyone would be witnessing that, they'd say that's an unbelievable demonstration of the guy's respect for that person. You know what I mean? It's a demonstration because in this case, passivity, back to that point, this passivity could be a demonstration when it's human nature to act. So therefore, it's a demonstration of their significance. And the significance is always going to be, and that's why I think this is a model case. Significance is what am I giving up? I'm saying they're as significant as what? I mean, am I going to, if I get them a drink, it's one thing. If I spend hours to get them a drink, it's another thing. If I give up a lot of money in order to get them a drink, it's another thing. So it's always, the greater the covenant is because I'm showing how significant they really are. And the more I'm giving up for it, the more time, energy, whatever I'm giving up, the greater demonstration of kavod is. So if the ultimate case of the saying is basically if it's all your money, that's what the case. They take your money belt and they throw it into the sea in your face. So that's basically it's a showing where it's a concrete loss, you know, and they're in the money. What's more valuable than money? You know, I mean, it's showing is that their psyche, their psychological needs I'm demonstrating their psychological needs is more important than my money. You know, I mean, than anything, basically. And that's why the model is, because that's what a person values the most, is money. And it's just putting a price tag on it, showing us that even as money, it's a demonstration of their significance through you doing something for them, you know, or you giving up something for them. And Yira is not a demonstration of their significance, but Yira is so to speak, the flip. Kavod is the demonstration of their significance. Yira is the internal realization of your insignificance. As opposed to them. You know? I mean, kavod is their significance is a positive demonstration. But your insignificance as opposed to them is internal realization, and that's so it's your eyes. You know? So they're flips of each other. You know? I mean, they're opposite sides. And so your in general is passive, because it's realizing your insignificance is that you don't do things that equate him. But that's not demonstrating his significance, that's just, it's like not demonstrating your significance, you know? But in kavod, it's demonstrations. That's why they're always usually positive, because usually demonstrations are positive. But in a rare case of this extreme case, you could have it being a, you know. But I would think that this case would also be yira. I mean, it would also be yira, and you know, if you by not yelling at him, you know what I mean? Because internal, if you have that internal state. But I think this case is better designed for kavod, is because it's demonstration of significance is like if it's money. See, even if the guy yells at you in front of dignitaries, the loss is just like an emotional one. So you want to demonstrate his significance is even over your money. Money is a concrete loss. If you want to show that he is more significant than money is what a person cherishes the most. So it's even more significant than that, you know. But the case of the dignitaries in that is status. You know, because yira is your status and showing your the insignificance of your status vis-a-vis them. So the case of status, your status is exemplified by the model of where you're sitting in front of all the people with fancy clothing and, you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, what we'll do next is next. So we'll do next is the Gemara's very next Gemara is Mishal Ibayilu Mishal Mi. The very bottom of Laman Aleph and Beis and Talam Beis and Aleph. Who's basically whose money do you have to spend for Kibbutz Avayim? It's an Ibay. You have to spend your money, his money, right? It's an important question. Yeah, look at it. Look at the Gemara. Look at it. Ultimately, we're gonna do it to the Gemara till I guess till the dots. I don't know if we'll get to all that tomorrow. And we'll do Rashi's and we're gonna do these Tosfos. There are two Tosfos in here. Actually, three. This is a little packed. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on here. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on here. But the first thing you got to do is define the abaya. Define the abaya. Whose money you have to spend. You can look in the Rambam also, I guess. So, but look at the chesaron kiss thing. Don't skip over that. It's part of the definition of chesaron kiss.